Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning. We thank you that you are a precious and wonderful Lord. Father, we thank you that you are one who is merciful, loving, and kind. Just as we often praise our Lord Jesus for his mercy and his love, and yet it is only a reflection of your love and your great care for us. Father, we ask that you would meet with us during this hour, that our hearts would be knit together, and that our hearts would be knit together towards you. Father, we do pray for James Johnston. We ask that you would bless him in this week as he goes to surgery. And we pray for Buddy and Susan as they are away, that you would give them safety in traveling and boldness in preaching. And Lord, we ask that your name would be praised both now and forever, that we would not lose our reward, but that we would be shining lights for you, examples of the believers, both now and forever. And Lord, we praise your name. Amen. As we begin this morning, if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 2, we will go to a few different passages this morning. But I thought that perhaps the warning that we find here in Revelation chapter 2 would serve to show us the seriousness of the topic this morning. The title of this morning's message is, Are You Weary in Well-Doing? I heard one time that having a question in your title is good because it captures the attention. So that's what we're trying. Are you weary in well-doing? If we go to Revelation chapter 2, and we begin reading in verse... I want to read the whole chapter, but we'll just read verses 1 through 5. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. We have here a warning to the church at Ephesus. And this warning is, you have left your first love. And truly, that's another way of saying they'd become weary in well-doing. When they were first met with the grace and love of God, when the mercy of God poured out on Calvary was first explained to them, and they said, Yes, Lord, we accept you, their love was known. And everyone around heard about it. And then, over time, they got weary. They were weary. They were weary in doing that which was good. They were weary of continuing that first love that they had. Their love had soured, gone cold. It had gotten harder for them to express their love to God because it was not first in their mind. It wasn't that burning desire that it had been. They had left that first love. In verse 5, we find there the remedy, and we will find this echoed throughout the New Testament. The remedy for becoming weary or losing your first love is to repent and remember from where we are, from whence we have fallen. That is, remember where we have come from. and then we will begin again to do those first works. This is quite a serious warning. If you think, oh, this was just for the church at Ephesus, and this is just for them in that last day when Christ is coming back, then you are missing the point. This is something that we also must be careful doesn't happen to us. Not one of us can say our love for Christ has grown and never diminished. All of us have waxed and waned. Some of you young people, you know that the moon, it waxes, it gets bigger, and it wanes, that is, it gets smaller. Okay, old-fashioned words, but we still use them. Our love for Christ also has waxed and waned. Hopefully, your love for Christ has not died out. But we need to renew and always pursue having a growing love for Christ. A love that is like that first love. If we go now to Galatians chapter 6. Philippians, Galatians, Galatians chapter 6. We read in verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We see here Paul's burning desire for the people of the Galatian church to continue not being weary, to continue undaunted, that is, not stopped in any way in their love towards one another. Because specifically, his application there in verse 10 is that every opportunity they have to do good unto everyone, especially of the household of faith, that is, especially in the church, but unto everybody. You see someone that you can do good to them, do it. Do it. The reason we started in verse 8 was because this is a natural progression. If we sow, that is, if we do things in our life now, we will reap rewards later from them. If in our fervor and love for God we sow good works and we sow seeds of kindness and we hand out tracts and tell others about our wonderful Jesus and we plant the seed of a coming again deliverer, then we are sowing something that may be reaped in the future. But at any moment, if we let that excitement dim, then while our excitement is down, or when our love for God is hid, if our love for other things has grown, then we are sowing things that we will reap, and they are not those good things that we hope for. In verse 8, we are told that the sowing to the Spirit reaps of the Spirit life everlasting, eternal benefits. This is not saying that we can earn our salvation. Don't get that one out of this chapter. He's already talking to people who are saved. Nor read into this that you can lose your salvation unless you keep up these good works all the way to the end of your life. No, rather what he is saying is, at this moment, if you are not sowing in the Spirit, if you are not sowing that first love, if you are not doing good to all around you, then what you are doing will bear fruit, and it is not one that you want to eat. There are many kinds of fruit in this world. If you have a banana tree, it has bananas. I know it's not a tree, but you'll forgive me on that one. If you have an apple tree, it produces apples, and so forth. If you have a spirit-filled life, then that life will bear spiritual fruit. And it will bear it. Notice there in verse 9, in due season we shall reap. It's a promise. It's a certainty. It's something you can depend upon. This is not a, oh, well, if you continue to do things for God and that God has called you to do, then eventually maybe you'll see some fruit. No, there will be a reaping. It is certain if you are sowing to the Spirit. This is a huge challenge. So we've gone from our first love now to seeing we are to not be weary in well-doing. This is a consistent life of doing that which God has called us to do. Each one of us has a different but complementary calling. Some of us, our calling is with little kids. You teach the little kids. You help the little kids. Some, it is in this area or that area. I can't list all of them. God has used each one of you in different ways. Each one of us, though, should be doing them not because someone expects us to do it, but because God has asked us to do it, to do good as we can to those who are around us. What makes us weary? We have losing your first love in Revelation, and now here in Galatians, we have, you know, becoming weary. What is it that makes us weary? What makes us tired? And every parent says, kids, they make you weary. They wear you out. Others, maybe it is a job or a profession that if you do it right, you're going to be tired when you're done. Yet, each day, you wake up and maybe, hopefully, you're excited to deal with your children again. Or you're ready to get up and go to that workplace again. Being weary is not just being tired, but it is becoming faint. It is losing heart. It is saying, what's the point of this? Every day is the same. Or, I never see any results. That's weariness. That is failing to continue on. In fact, at the end of verse 9 there in Galatians 6, we see that exact phrase being used. If we faint not. If we don't give up. If we don't let it overcome us. I don't exercise much, as you probably know. But I've heard this phrase before, that if you're working really hard towards something or you're running a marathon, at some point you run until you get to the point where you hit the wall. I think that's the right phrase. Again, don't use it as much myself. But if you come to that point where you've got all the way to, you're pretty much at the end of yourself, if you keep going, it's really difficult for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden your body says, okay, I give up. We'll do what you want. And you keep going. Or if you sit down and say, nah, that's it. I give up. then it's 10 times harder to get back up again and to keep going forward. Because you have physically come to a breaking point, a wall, and you have physically come to that point where you don't want to continue on. But if you give up there, it is so hard to restart. This is the same thing here. If we faint, if we give up, if we are overcome, it's really hard to get back up and start serving God again. But if we push on, saying there is a reward coming, we will see those rewards in due season, at the appropriate time. If we go now to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 119. We find the psalmist writes, Psalm 119 and verse 28, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." We have here another way that we can become weary in well-doing. And that is if we are so encumbered with heaviness. Now, this is not talking about carrying a large rock on your shoulder. This is talking about sorrow. My soul melteth for heaviness, sorrow. The weight of the day-to-day activities is one thing, but the weight of a sorrow, a loss, is another. This is another thing that can cause us to become weary in well-doing. I want us to notice the psalmist's response. His response is not to say, "Oh, my soul is melting for heaviness. I'm so sorrowful. I'm so weary. And now I give up." No, his response is the same as ours needs to be. He immediately turns to God and says, "Strengthen thou me." He asks God for strength. What is it that God has asked you to do or that you've done in the past when you were in love with Him, that you've kind of given up on, that you've become weary in? Turn now to Him and ask Him to strengthen you, to give you that courage to continue on, because it is not a need of more muscles that we have. At least that's not what's in the picture here in Psalm 119. Instead, he is asking for the strength from God to push on, even though he's hit an emotional wall. He asks God to strengthen him, and then he says, "According unto thy word." The psalmist was relying upon the fact that God had promised him that he would strengthen him. That is, that God would strengthen him. Do you know that we can also rely upon God who strengthens us? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, we read this, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Is there some activity that God wants you to do? Some person He wants you to talk to? Sometimes that can be scarier than any physical activity. Someone that God wants you to talk to. God says here that we can do all things through Christ, because Christ, Jesus, our Lord, strengthens us. He strengthens us. We can rely upon Him. And so as we are going, if we come to that emotional or to that physical end of ourselves, we need to cry out to God, "Strengthen me as you have promised." I want us now to go to the book of Matthew. In chapter 11, we are not just told that Jesus strengthens us, but we are told by Him that we are to come to Him. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And often we stop there, and there's a great salvation message in here about coming to Jesus with your burden and your care and all of your sin and casting it upon Him. But if we find Jesus doesn't stop there, He goes on. And this is the encouragement that each one of us can rely upon. We know Jesus is with us. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Are you weary in your soul? Come to Jesus. He will give you rest. And I'm not just talking to those unsaved, but even for those of us who know Jesus as Savior, yet we can become overwhelmed. Come to Jesus. He will give you rest. He will take your heavy burden and He will bear it with you. The picture of the yoke of oxen is two pulling together. If they don't pull together with the same strength, then it kind of goes off the wrong direction. They have to be pulling together. But we find here with Jesus on our side, our burden suddenly becomes light. It's like we are trying to drag the rock with us up the mountain, and it's on the ground, and it's digging itself in, and it's hard to pull it up. And yet, when we give our burden to Jesus, it's all of a sudden put into His wagon, and we are yoked up with Him, and now there's less resistance, and that burden is much lighter to carry. And instead of going up the mountain, we're now going downhill with Him. We're going with Jesus. He will be there right next to us. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. This does not mean that every day will be a holiday, but rather that we can trust God and Jesus to stand next to us and to help us in carrying all of those things which truly are burdens in our life. We can rely on Him. We started by looking at the loss of our first love. And now we have seen that our souls can become weary. Before we leave this topic, though, we should run to Jeremiah chapter 31. He is often called the weeping prophet. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. And verse 25, as I said, he's often called the weeping prophet. He was afflicted with the weight of the sin and the disobedience of the people of Israel. He testified to them over and over again, and they rejected him. They turned their back on him. But we find here, actually, a very hopeful Jeremiah in chapter 31 and verse 25. For I have satiated, that's a big word, just means satisfied, the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful heart. This was in the dream that Jeremiah was hearing the words of God spoken to him. God is the one here who is satisfying the weary soul. It is God here who is replenishing every sorrowful soul. Is your soul weary? Are you sorrowful? God will replenish you. Go to Him. Go to Him. Just as a side note, there in verse 26, we have a hint at how we can have good rest. Upon this I awakened and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Jeremiah had a good night's sleep because God was with him in his dreams and satisfied his soul in his dreams. And he was meditating upon the words of his God and the promises of his God in his sleep. And when he awoke, he was refreshed. His sleep was sweet unto him. That is probably one of the greatest blessings you can have, is a good night's sleep. When you woke up, you actually were awake and alert. Oh, it's a great day then. Here, Jeremiah, his soul was met by God. If we go now to Hebrews in chapter 12, if we are weary, whatever the weariness that we are facing, if it is keeping us from well-doing, what is our cure? In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 3, we have the problem and the cure presented for us. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If you are at risk of fainting or becoming weary in your mind, then run to the cross. Consider there the form of our Savior as he endured, notice what it says there in verse 3, such contradiction of sinners. He was being punished though he was sinless, and the ones punishing him were the ones he was saying, Father, forgive them. It's quite ironic. It is a contradiction that the sinners were putting him to death. None of us have resisted to the point of death as Christ did. So whatever trial, trouble, tribulation, look to God. Remember what it is that Jesus went through for us. Why did he die on the cross? Because he loved me so. This should cause us to have a renewed love for him. If we have seen Jesus as he is, and we've seen the sacrifice that he made for us, our heart should be moved. If it doesn't move us, then we need a heart check. We need a heart check. Is it still beating? Because Jesus died for our sins. Let us not be weary and faint in our minds. This also points out that often it is our minds that cause us all the trouble. What is it that keeps you up late at night? It's remembering all the things that you did, isn't it? Or it's going over those things that might happen tomorrow. And those worries will keep you up all night long. It's in our minds. We should be settled in our hearts. Don't let your mind become weary or faint. Instead, consider Christ. So here we have a little bit of a preventative, if you will. Go to bed thinking of Christ and what he's done for you. As you begin a new task, think of Christ and what he did for you. As you begin your work day, think of what Christ has done for you. And then as you find opportunity to do things for others, it will seem a small sacrifice in comparison. It will not seem like a huge thing that's going to take all my time and effort. It will seem a small thing to do because we love Jesus. We need to be careful not to become faint in our heart. If you'll turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have here Paul saying, we are not fainting, even though our outward man seems to be perishing, yet on the inside we're renewed day by day. Don't be confused. This body will break down. We will have days when we physically can't get out of bed. Yet, we can, on the inside, be renewed every single day. We can be rising up and accomplishing good for God. Maybe there's someone that you have prayed for in the past that you need to continue to pray for. You've grown weary because you say, I pray for this person, I pray for them, and nothing ever happens. We're not looking for today. We're looking for an eternal weight of glory. We're not looking for how much pain it is today to remember to pray for someone. Instead, we need to look forward to the reward, which is eternal. So we see, we need to look to Christ. What He has already done, that puts all of what we are doing in perspective. And then we need to look to the reward, which is the reaping, as we've already seen it. Because that is coming and it's eternal, whereas what we're going through today, it will be over. When I was at Bible college, my Greek professor, he liked to joke at us, not with us sometimes, and he would say, this too shall pass. You may not, but this will. That was not comforting at all. And there were some of us who didn't pass the first time we took the test. Yes, there was difficulty, but it was temporary, and then it was over. All the things we are going through in this life, they are temporary. But that which we have laid up in store for the future, we will reap an eternal reward. Let's look forward to that. If we go now to Isaiah chapter 40, and we're only going to go to a handful more verses, and I might not get you to turn to all of them. Isaiah chapter 40. We have the verse that everyone remembers, which is verse 31, but we'll begin reading in verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a lot in this passage, and we could spend more time than we've got on it. There's so much here. But I want us to see there's something for each of us. Some of us are young. But even if we're young, we can't rely upon our youth. And those of us who are old, while we see that the end is coming and we see the aches and the pains, yet we know that our God can use us still. Because in verse 31, it doesn't talk about the youth or the old. It's just anyone who relies upon God. That is, if you wait upon the Lord, if you're resting on Him, then you renew your strength. We're told of Moses that even up to the very last days, he was undiminished in his strength. That is something I would like to be said of me when I get to his age. I don't think I'm getting to 120. But if I got up to 120 and was full of strength, how wonderful that would be. It is only because he was relying upon God. Wait upon the Lord and renew your strength. We see also that this applies for each of us. Maybe you cannot run for whatever reason. Yet, at the end of verse 31, they that walk shall not faint. Maybe you're one of God's plodders. You know, you plod on day after day. It's not unnoticed. God knows that you're following and serving Him, and I'll let you in on a secret. Those around you can see your consistency in trust of God. They can see it. They might not mention it very often, but they can see it. So whether you're running, whether you're in the sprint, the marathon, or the really long walk, trust in the Lord. Wait on Him. He will renew you. He will give you strength. And then you will not be weary. Then you will not faint. This should be our cry. Lord, help us to not be weary. Help us to instead trust in You. So this morning we've seen that it's easy to leave your first love. It's easy to become weary in doing that which is good. It's easy to leave off those things that you did when you were so in love with God, you'd do whatever He asked. Even if it meant losing friends or relatives stopped talking to you or whatever, you would do what God asked you to do. Yet we can be renewed from day to day. We can trust in God. Look to Him and say, oh, this little weariness I'm going through now, that's nothing. Jesus went to the cross. Surely I can do this for Him. And then let us trust that God will deliver us if we will wait on Him. Again, our reaping shall be great. What we reap in heaven for what we have done today will be great. We can't see that reward. You don't know. Maybe that person you talk to at the market never says anything to you, but their soul is rescued, and in heaven you will see the reward that you have done. You will see what God has done, and you'll be amazed. God is not giving us the reaping today, necessarily. You might not see the reward of your faithful life, but continue on. Do not stop. This is to not be weary. So, are you weary in well-doing? Go to the Savior. Are you weary in well-doing? Cry out to Him, and He will lift you up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are powerful, and as we read there in that last passage, You are the everlasting God who made everything. You know the frailties of our makeup. You also know the frailties of our heart and our soul. Father, we thank You that You have given us a Savior who knows our infirmities and is willing to step with us side by side and carry our burdens. Father, we ask that You would keep us ever on our knees before You. And Lord, may we walk undaunted in fulfilling Your will this week. In Jesus' precious name, amen.